Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast featuring my newest sermons and teachings. Be sure to visit the ministry website, www.davidhernandezministries.com. And remember, nothing is impossible with God.
And this word, I really am believing that as you hear it, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, that as you hear this word, that you're going to be positioned to receive the miraculous in your life. So that's what I'm ministering on tonight, faith that receives the miraculous. And so we're talking about faith that works. Now, you know, the scripture, I was just reading this morning, and it blew my mind what I saw in the scripture, what Jesus is doing here. Now, check this out. Go to Matthew chapter 14. This is amazing. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 13. I'm not going to read the entire context, but we're familiar with this certain passage of scripture because it has to do when Jesus feeds the 5,000, a very famous story. And we read there in verse 13, the scripture says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.'" Verse 16, "But Jesus said, 'This isn't necessary. You feed them.'" Now, I thought this was interesting because Jesus is telling them, the disciples, that it's not necessary to send the people away. Now, Jesus, God incarnate, knows all things. Surely Jesus knew how much food the disciples had. And he told the disciples, it's not necessary to send the people into town. I'm telling you what he's doing here. Jesus wanted the disciples to feed the 5,000 through faith. But they didn't catch it. Jesus says, here's the crowd. They said, send them away. This is a remote place. There's no food here. Send them into town to go get more food. And Jesus says to the disciples, that's not necessary. You feed them. And they didn't catch it. So Jesus ends up doing the miracle himself. Now, this was all well and good, except this happens a second time. In the very next chapter, Jesus feeds even fewer. He goes from feeding the 5,000, now he's feeding the 4,000. Look at this. Chapter 15, verse 32 through 39. Check this out. "Then Jesus called his disciples and told them," this is chapter Matthew 15, 32. "Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, 'I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away or they will faint along the way.' The disciples replied, 'Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?' Jesus asked, 'How much bread do you have?'" Now, wait a minute. The disciples had just witnessed the feeding of 5,000 people. And now we see that they have a need for the feeding of the 4,000 people. And Jesus again puts the responsibility on the disciples and he says, "How much food do you have?" And again, the disciples don't have the faith and Jesus does the miracle. Now, a lot of people know about this second time, but did you know that this happened a third time in Matthew's gospel with even fewer people? Check this out. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 through 10. This is what the scripture says. "Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread." Verse 6, Jesus says, "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Verse 7, "At this they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought enough bread." Verse 8, Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, this amazed me because I recognize that God will always meet you in proportion to your faith. Jesus tests the disciples first at 5,000. They couldn't handle it. So he says, okay, what about the feeding of the 4,000? They couldn't handle it. And then there's only 13 of them, the 12 disciples and Jesus, and they still couldn't handle it. And he says, you have so little faith. You see, the issue is not God. God is all powerful. God can do anything. God is not limited on power. The limit is not on God's power. The limit is on your faith. And so we see he starts with 5,000, moves to 4,000, then to 12, and they couldn't get the hint. This reminded me of the children of Israel. Remember when God gave them manna from heaven? He had to feed them fresh every single day. And if they tried to save any that was left over, it would turn to maggots. Because God wants you to have faith every step of the way. And God will meet you in proportion to your faith. So this is what I'm talking about. This is the kind of faith that receives the miraculous. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance. Say substance. It's tangible. It's something you can touch, you can handle. Faith, the belief, the declaration, the foresight, the expectation is the tangible substance of the thing you don't have yet. Amen. Faith, believing that God is able to perform his word, that substance for the future. You see, you may not see right now your family serving the Lord, but your faith is the substance of that very thing that's going to happen. You may not see that the healing is going to take place in your body because it hasn't manifested physically. But the very fact that you have faith for it means that it's somewhere in your future, and the faith is the substance, something you hold on to receive it. And then the scripture says, the evidence of things that are not seen. It didn't say the belief. It said the evidence, the proof, the backing. Your faith is evidence for things that are not seen. I mean, just think about your very life. Your faith in God is proof that God exists. Because why would someone believe in God? Maybe some of you were former drug addicts, and what God has done with you, your faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Your very life, your very faith, how you handle, how you believe, how you live is faith to the unbeliever that God exists. Faith is a substance. It's a thing. That means the very fact that I can see it now means that it actually exists somewhere in my future. I don't think you're really getting it. So we're gonna go a little deeper. Can we go deeper with this? Yeah. Okay, it is the substance. You know, the Bible says that God calls things that are not as though they are. That's faith. Faith is the handling. Faith is the proof of the miracle that's going to take place. You're sitting in this place tonight, and you may feel backed against a corner. I could go on listing all of the categories in your finances, in your health, in your family, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your business, in your emotions, in your mindset. All of those things in which you are believing for breakthrough, because you have faith for that breakthrough, it's proof that the breakthrough is on the way. Your faith, as long as you keep it, is the substance. It's something upon which you can cling and hold, and it's solid. It's the proof. It's the evidence of what God is about to do. So how do you receive the miraculous? Well, I'm going to tell you seven things, and I'm not going to keep you long here tonight because I want to pray for some people. But the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Number one, you have to hear in faith. Now, here's the issue. A lot of people will hear a word, get excited about the word, and then immediately want to go to receiving the word. There is a process. The miracle moment is found after the journey of faith. I hear in faith, that's the first thing. But there are other steps that need to happen before I can receive in faith, which is going to be my final point. Number one, you hear in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this doesn't just have to do with the Bible, which is the word of God, the written word of God. This has to do with getting around people of faith. I mean, I wonder, do people find their faith strengthened when they hear you talk? Do you find your faith strengthened when you hear yourself talk? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing truth, then fear comes by hearing a lie. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I need to use my spiritual ears. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. You can hear me, what I'm saying in the physical realm, but do you really have a spiritual ear to receive and see the hearing become faith in your life? You need to fill your mind with the things that are set on above. Fill your mind with the things that tell you how big God is, how capable God is. We need to begin to fill our minds with the faith that we receive through the word. Yes. You know, when I first started in a healing ministry, I actually was inspired by an evangelist who had come to our church. And I saw amazing miracles. He was one of those guys, you know, when they can go up to you, point to the sickness, they say, you have this. And they were so certain about it. I saw people try to deny they had the sickness because they were embarrassed. He was a little rough around the edges. They'd be embarrassed. He goes, no, you have this. And they would start crying and say, yes, it's true. Then he'd pray for them. They'd get healed. That's one of the first times I saw with that evangelist. And I remember I went out to lunch with him and I asked him, what is it about your ministry that has this power on it? There's this substance. There's this anointing that sickness is broken when you pray for people. And he told me, I read something from the book of Acts every day. He saw the Holy Spirit in action. And when I began to do that, that's when my faith began to grow. And if you will fill your mind with the word, see, this is not just filling your mind with the word on Wednesdays and Sundays when you hear it from the pastor. Because if that's the only time, look, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to tear anybody down. I'm trying to wake you guys up. When you hear the word on your own, you're eating on your own. If you don't eat physically, you become weak. If you don't eat spiritually, you become weak. So the word is our substance. The word is what God uses to create. And so we need to hear the word. So number one, hear in faith. Number two, think in faith. It's easy to think in faith if you're hearing in faith. The scripture says in Proverbs, you know the verse, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In fact, the Bible even says in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says that when you ask something of God, make sure you're not wavering. And then it says very clearly, if you waver, you're getting nothing. We call it being humble or whatever. Oh, I if it's God's will. What do you mean if? The Bible very clearly tells us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The Bible clearly tells us, I pray that you prosper in all areas, even as your soul prospers. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of God bringeth wealth. And he adds no sorrow with it. We need to think as God thinks. We need to hear in faith. And the more we hear in faith, the more we begin to think in faith. And we start to process and analyze as if God was processing and analyzing for us. Number three, we need to see in faith. Now, this happened with Elisha. Remember, he had gone up to face the army had come to confront them, and Elisha's servant becomes frightened, and he goes, he basically says, look, we're doomed. We're not going to be able to get out of this. And Elisha says, no, there are more with us than there are against us. And then he prayed, Lord, open the servant's eyes. Remove the veil from his eyes so that he can see into the spiritual realm. And when his eyes were open, he saw chariots of fire. How do you see your certain situations that keep you up at night? How do you see your prayer list? How do you see the life circumstances that weigh you down? Can you see what God sees? You know what he told Abraham? He says, as far as you can see it, you can have it. I don't even know if you guys are getting this tonight. Because if you really believed that, he says, as far as you can see it, you can have it. You know, we talk about conceiving it in the mind. But think about that word, conceive. Conceive, it creates, it causes something to be born. You conceive it in the mind. How do you conceive it in the mind? It's with the seed of the word. When the seed of the word goes into the womb of faith, you conceive. If you can see it, you can have it. You know, I was talking to Pastor Paul today at brunch. And I was talking about something I had read about quantum physics. Now, I love looking at these things, and I can't pretend I understand them more than the average Joe can. So I'm a layman when it comes to these things, but I love reading about them. And, you know, they have found that in some experiments that matter, what exists as matter, only exists as waves until there is a conscious observer. I don't know. I think it might have gone over the head here. But let me tell you something. We're talking about basically particles that create substance don't really exist until someone is observing it. Is this too deep? Are you getting this? Okay. So that matter is only matter when you see it. God told Abraham, if you can see it, you can have it. Here's the problem. Some of you are seeing, as a result of negative thinking, negative things, and you're causing it to create in your life. You're creating your circumstance because all you see in everything is what you don't like, what you don't want, what you can't do, what the limitations are, what stresses you out, and you focus on the need instead of the seed. And you're focusing on what tears you down instead of what creates. And because you're thinking it, you're focusing on it. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. You're creating a reality around you in which you stand defeated. But if you could remove the veil from your eyes, and you could see, as the servant of Elisha saw, you would see that there are more for you than against you. What you look at your circumstance and you say, oh no, this is a setback, when it is actually a divine setup. You look at it and you look at it as a demotion when it's actually a promotion. You know, sometimes, as it was with Joseph, sometimes in the natural, what looks like a demotion is in the spirit a promotion. It brings you closer to where you need to be. And if you continue to look at it with eyes of faith, if you can see it, you can have it. Your faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So number one, you hear in faith. Number two, you think in faith. Number three, you see in faith. Number four, you declare in faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The issue here is not superstition, okay? So I'll give you an example. I was praying for this lady, and, you know, there's the prayer line. She comes up, and she's ready for prayer. And she's one of those people, I could already tell, she's going to take all, as much time as she can, right? And so she comes up. And she goes, I go, what do you believe in God to do? And she goes, I'm believing God to be able to see out of my left eye. I said, okay, let's pray. I said, so you're blind in your left eye. She goes, no, I'm not. It threw me back. I said, okay, maybe I misunderstood her. I said, okay, so what do you want to pray for? She says, I want to pray that I could be able to see out of my left eye. I said, can you see out of it? She goes, no. I said, so you're blind in your left eye. She goes, no, I am not. And so I start praying for her, and we ask God to heal her, and I go, okay, are you healed? She goes, yes, I am. So I test her, and she still can't see. I go, are you healed? She goes, yes, I'm healed, 100%, perfectly healed. And I mean, this went on, I'm not kidding you, for like 7-8 minutes. And you know me, finally, I go, lady, listen. Do you or do you not need healing in your left eye? And she goes, no, I do not. And it finally dawned on me that she was of the belief that if she said she needed healing or if she admitted to something like that, that she would curse herself. And I said, ma'am, honestly, the very fact that you're up here for prayer is an admission that you're sick. And Jesus wouldn't need to heal the sick if there was no such thing as sickness. So I'm not talking about that because sometimes as Pentecostals, we can be a little superstitious. Come on, say amen. You know it's true. There's like the wind blows the mini blinds and we think it's a devil in our house. I'm telling you. So there's not a devil under every bush and these things are true. I'm not talking about superstition. I'm talking about being conscious of what you speak and declare. Because the scripture talks about death and life being in the power of tongue. I'll tell you what it's really about. When it comes to the power of the words. Now, I've studied the word. There is a creative power in what we speak. How creative or how powerful? I haven't done any depth of study on it. It could be much more than I believe it is. Could be much less. I don't know. But I think it's a God-given trait because we're created in the image of God. And we have the ability to create. But more than anything, words are both indicators and creators. Say words are indicators and creators. Words can create an atmosphere. And they're also an indication of the atmosphere in you. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It indicates what's in your heart, and it creates what's in your circumstance. If anything, speaking life causes us to hear the word. And speaking death causes us to doubt. Now, I'm really going to go deep now. Are you ready for more? Yeah. Is this blessing you so far? Okay. We're going to get serious now. So, number one, you hear in faith. Number two, you think in faith. Number three, you see in faith. Number four, you declare in faith. There's a power in your mouth. Number five, you have to step in faith. Now, this is the biggest one. See, because we're good at doing the first of it. But that's what makes it a superstition. Is when you talk it, but don't walk it. That's superstition. Oh, I believe. God's going to bless me. You throw 2 cents in the offering, and you believe God's going to pour out a blessing from heaven. Sometimes I tell people, give more than the envelope is worth at least. Now, if 2 cents is all you have, then that's more than anybody's given in the room because it's all you have. But you know what I'm talking about. It's this little, I don't even know. It's a superstition. But walking in faith, this is the big key right here. This is the turning point. Because this is where everything you've heard and declared and thought and saw manifests around you. Now, this is what, listen very carefully, because this word from the Lord is going to set some of you free. If you feel like you've been up against the wall and things are just like, you can't get past that, this is going to unstop the clog, okay? This is going to give you the breakthrough. This is going to break that flow that the enemy's tried to stop. So I believe this word is from the Lord for you tonight. If you're here, it's no accident. If you're listening to what I'm saying, it's not an accident. This is what the Bible says. John 15:7, and this is Jesus talking now. He says this, but if you, John 15:7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Amen. That's Jesus talking. Now, wait a minute. How many have heard that verse before? But think about this. Jesus Christ, is telling us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's a condition. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you can ask me anything you want and I'll give it. Think about that. Now, I want to clarify something before I continue, because I know there are some cerebral types like me in here. No, you cannot ask God to give you a pair of wings or something silly like that. Why? Because, for example, when I was a kid in Sunday school, I used to ask the Lord, well, Lord, can you let me fly? Now, outside of flying in an airplane, the answer is no. And someone will point to that and say, see, he said anything and you didn't get it, so it can't be true. Well, no, not exactly. Because number one, God will not give you the illogical, because it's not in his nature. And if you're remaining in him and his word remains in you, you're not going to be the person or to have the heart to ask for the illogical. Number two, something that is not necessarily logical, but it's absurd, like me getting wings or something like that, it goes against his design. Design implies intent. Intent implies the will. Tell that to the Supreme Court, that when God designs something, it's used with an intention to function a certain way. Some of you missed that. That's okay. And so that design implies intent, which implies God's will. Now, God will not give you something outside of his will. And if you're in him and his word is in you, you're not going to ask for something outside of his will. Okay? But if the Bible says you can ask for it, then that's the anything you can have. And the Bible promises a lot. Okay? So anything the scripture promises can be yours. Think about that. Of all the people God's blessed, Solomon and Abraham and King David and the apostles and the miracles that they saw and Noah and Moses. I mean, think about what God's done for them. And that same God tells you, you can ask me for anything and I will give it. So two questions. Number one, what does it mean to remain in him? And what does it mean for his word to remain in me? Because if you do that, Jesus promises this. If you do it, he's going to give you anything you want. Do you want to know what it means? Very clearly. The Bible says this. 1 John 3:24. I want you to listen. Whoever keeps his commandments remains in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he remains in us by the Spirit he has given us. What does it mean to remain in God? It means you listen to what the Bible says. And if you do what the Bible says, you can receive what the Bible promises. But if you don't do what the Bible says, you cannot receive what the Bible promises. It's more clear here. Very pointed, in fact, when he says it here. 1 John 3:21-22. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking again. He said, or this is the apostle. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, say whatsoever. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs 28:9. he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. I hope this wakens someone up tonight. If you do not regard the law, Proverbs says, even your prayers are an abomination. Dear God, this is heavy. When you pray and you're not walking as God's commanded you to walk, that prayer itself doesn't say is an abomination, but it becomes like an abomination. There's even more. The scripture, I'm learning this. It's all new to me, but I'm learning that these are things we have to do. Usually breakthrough comes not from some major dramatic event, but a small shift in your obedience. Amen. Breakthrough comes after obedience, yeah. Period. So the question is, what is God saying? I learned this one, 1 Peter 3:7. This one I'm learning because 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, if things are not good between you and the wife, God's not going to hear your prayer. I learned that one real quick. In fact, one time the Lord told me, I was in prayer, and the Lord told me, he said, you know, a couple days ago you said this to your wife. And it wasn't anything mean or over the top. It was just, you know, sometimes we can be insensitive in the way we say things. And the Lord said, that hurt your wife's feelings. So I said, I didn't know that. So I went and I apologized to my wife, and she says, good, I told the Lord to tell you. That's why we need to be men of prayer, right? But the Bible says that if things aren't good, he's not going to hear your prayer. In fact, the scripture also says in James 4, verse 2 and 3, that you have not because you ask not. And we love that part. But he says, and when you do ask, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. He says, it's not just because you don't ask. I mean, he wants us to ask. But when you do ask, you ask for selfish reasons. You have not because you ask not. Amen, amen. But then when you do ask, you ask amiss so that you can consume it all by yourself, all for you. God bless me with the promotion, because just for you. In fact, this gets even deeper, guys. Can you believe that? Psalm, and now King David really knew God. Psalms has got to be, the book of Psalms has got to be my favorite book of the Bible. At least this year. So Psalm 66, verse 17 through 19 says, this is just, I could not believe, I mean, how clear this is in scripture once you start looking for it. The Bible says this, for I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He wouldn't even listen, not just hear you and ignore it. He won't even listen to King David. Now, of course, we live under a new covenant, but the principle is still the same, that unconfessed sin hinders our walk with God. I'm not talking about going back and listing everything you've ever done. The Bible talks about God getting at the heart of the issue. We're talking about having a sinful heart. And you don't have to go and list and remember every sin. You simply have to repent and God will do it afresh. I mean, the Bible says the heart is so deceitfully wicked, we can't even understand it. So it's not possible for us to know every sin we've ever committed. But here's the issue, is because we're asking God to do one thing, and by the way we act, we're counterproductive. It's like God's trying to save the boat and we're drilling holes in it. I mean, we'll pray for our unsaved loved ones, right? Maybe an unsaved love interest, but then you'll go and do things with these people. You want to be in the bars with them on Friday and Saturday. Hope they get saved at Bible study. Or sleep with them on Saturday. Hope they give their lives to the Lord on Sunday morning. I mean, we say, Lord, heal me, heal me. And then you go and put things in your body. Yeah, I'm going there. You may not like it, but it's the truth. You say, Lord, heal me. And then your lifestyle is destroying your body. I know this isn't popular. I don't care. I'm trying to help you. This is what the Bible says. We say, Lord, bless me, bless me. I need help with the finances. But when the offering basket goes by, you refuse to do it and then wonder why the heavens are shut. Are we getting this tonight? We need to walk in obedience. That's stepping in faith. It's not going to do you any good to hear the word if you don't do the word. Doing the word is the most important part. You can think it, see it, declare it, and speak it, but if you're not walking in it, you're not going to receive it. So after we've done these things, we hear in faith, we think in faith, we see in faith, we declare in faith, we step in faith, then we can ask in faith, number six, and receive in faith. But remember at the beginning, I told you God's going to do it in proportion to where you are. You know, for example, and I'm not just talking about money, but money's a great example because it's very close to the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart be also. So it's an important issue. It's a great analogy. But maybe God promotes you because, I mean, I know of people who they sowed. I mean, they said, I don't have much left and I'm on the verge of this or I can't make it. And when they first got saved, they said, I'll give everything I have. And they give it. And then God will challenge them to do it again. But because it's more, because they got blessed, they can't do it. There's a story. I don't know how true it is. You know how those stories kind of just circulate around the church. Never research this, but it's a great story. And it illustrates a great principle, is that there was an old woman sitting in a church. She's one of those bold church ladies. And there's this man testifying about how God blessed him financially because he had given it all. And the woman stands up and says, I dare you to do it again. But see, no matter where you are, it's going to challenge you. I'll tell you this right now. The pressures of ministry that I'm in, I remember I was just flipping through the channels and I stopped in on one of the Christian channels. And they started talking about me. Good, not bad, good. And they just did like, it was like a little like Christian news type show. And they're just talking about the ministry. They showed some clips and talked about just kind of the history of the healing ministry and how they were highlighting some new healing ministers. And I'm watching, I'm going, okay, that's cool. But as soon as I saw it, I mean, just the fear of the Lord hit me. You cannot believe the pressure that's on someone when that many eyes are on you. And I remember I said, Lord, I'm going to need faith for this new season. Because God will never put you in a place where you don't need him. He'll never put you in a place where you don't need faith. And you go from glory to glory. He gives you more and more. But it's more and more. And it's always just a little more than you can handle by yourself. It's always just out of your reach so that when it comes to pass, no one else can get the glory. But I'll tell you what makes up that difference. That difference between seeing it in faith and receiving it in faith is the step of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Consider lending this ministry a helping hand by becoming a monthly supporter or by making a one-time donation. For ministry information or general correspondence, visit www.davidhernandezministries.com or call 888-740-1110. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @DigaHernandez. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast.